As an adult, having an everyday job feels easier when you have someone you can depend on. Good thing Globe Prepaid offers Go Plus promos where you can choose the data that you want, and with Go Plus 99 Go Work promo, accomplishing all your work tasks becomes so much easier. With a total of 16 gig of data, you can now have 8 gig of data for all sites to do what you need to do, and 8 gig of data for apps that you love through Globe Prepaid's Go Plus 99 with Go Work promo. On top of that, you can also get unlimited text to all networks valid for 7 days. To register, grab your mobile phones now and head on to their Globe One app, GCash, or dial *143 # on your phone to access all the apps that you would need to make your work life more efficient. Start your working hours with enthusiasm and end it with efficiency with Globe Prepaid's Go Plus 99 Go Work.
Podcast Network Asia.
Now, if you're thinking, well, I did really well this year, maybe you're also being subjective about your performance. I want all listeners to understand that your okay is different from your boss's okay.
Welcome back to Mishconceptions. This season is all about hard conversations and realities that you need to face. Some of it is for us to grow, and some, you know, for us to weather pass on. Today, in particular, we are going to discuss preparing for our year-end assessment or performance conversations at work. It is the season where we look back to all the things that we've done throughout the year for us to discuss it with our line managers or our boss. As a bonus, pun intended, we will also talk about, you know, how do you ask for a raise properly and also your bonus in a way. So today I invited headhunter, speaker, founder and managing director of Icon Executive Asia, Pat Soyao, and also he's a marketing person as well. So he also has his own podcast called Job Defined. Welcome, Pat.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for sparing the time to be on this podcast this morning. No, so I would just dive right into it. You know, in your years of experience as a headhunter and also in the field of, you know, human resources, what's the common misconception about, you know, performance conversation or asking for a raise?
Asking for a raise, I guess the common misconception is there's a standard. Normally, companies, in my experience, not a lot of companies have a standard. And not a lot of companies know how to set a standard if they do plan to have one. So normally, a lot of the salary increases, as I see it, unless you're an established conglomerate, already has something in place. But a common practice is that it's quite subjective, which is, in a way, I agree in the subjectivity of the increase in salaries. Maybe just to point out an example is, if you're going to be asking for a raise right now, most likely, after a year of performance, there are the standard performers, and there are the ones who actually really excel. So to the ones that really excel, does the standard performance increase apply to them? So, and if not, where do you base it on? So those are just some of the things that you need to understand. So now if you're thinking, well, I did really well this year, maybe you're also being subjective about your performance. I want all listeners to understand that your okay is different from your boss's okay. Your okay is different from their okay. So have a better understanding of what okay is. Because your okay might be average, and the okay of your boss might be below average. So have a better understanding of it. And then if you are above average, in your opinion, and at the same time in your boss's opinion, we need to understand what's your current market value right now. So let's say if you are a marketing assistant or a marketing manager, do you think with the success that you were able to achieve, with the results that you were able to achieve, are you still on the marketing manager level? Because sometimes 1 year can lead to exponential growth. Let's say if you are in a startup, the things that you've experienced in 1 year is different from the things that you've experienced in a conglomerate or a bigger organization, part of which because you wore many hats. compared to a conglomerate, which is basically already has a set direction in place. So where you were before compared to where you are now, not subjective to the, not in the context of your organization, but in the context of the job market, are you still a marketing manager or a marketing assistant? Or you already leveled up? So if you've leveled up already, then I think it's fair that your raise should be aligned with the current market rate. Because to the employers out there or to the bosses, if you think that your employee is already outgrown the position, and then you're just going to give them a standard raise, you're going to lose that talent. A lot of factors, again, different level of OKs, what your OK is different from another person's OK is, and then your actual job market value, and then what's the standard and such. So it's really quite a tricky situation. But I think the best thing to do right now is to see where you are and then really understand the context.
Correct, yes. So there's a lot to talk about asking for a raise now. So let's take a step back first and talk about performance conversation. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like to argue that it is probably the most, if not the second most important conversation that you need to have in your career, the other being your goals or your development plan. You know, performance conversation serves as a report card nga, di ba, ika nga, for all the work that we have done throughout the year. It's basically the time for you to carry your own torch and buhat sarili buhat ng bangko talaga, di ba? To list down everything that you took part of. Usually kasi, di ba, there are steps that we need to consider. And for other companies, there is also like a self-assessment. Like for our case, my self-assessment, and I'll discuss it with my manager. And then before we submit, we have to agree on that assessment, di ba, and the ratings. How different is the process from your perspective as a headhunter, as part of this field? How do you prepare for a performance conversation?
Well, performance conversation, let's assume that the organization doesn't have one. Now that becomes tricky because basically, and then you're the one who's going to be initiating it. What's going to be the basis of your performance? Now that's going to be quite subjective. So that's the scenario one. Scenario two is there's already a KPI in place for you, and then, which is a lot easier. Basically, if you just need to hit those numbers and then you would see if you are a performer or not. So opening up this discussion is a must for all organizations. At the same time, I'd say for me, I would always ask my boss, how did I do? How did I do? And I would like to know where I am. So opening up that conversation, I suggest that you do it before the end of the year. And then most likely start of the year, it's going to be quite tricky. And then just a basic guideline, if you will be opening up performance conversations with your boss, is that be aware of the halo effect. Maybe both for the employer and the employee. Let's say if you're an employee, you might think that you are a performer because of recent events. And then if you aggregate those experiences, maybe it just kind of average at basically average performance. You just did well on your last one, but not really well on the others. So if you aggregate that or if you average that, you're basically average performance. Same thing with employers. If your employee or the bosses, they did not perform well recently, and that's going to be the basis of your performance review, that's going to be unfair. So you have to aggregate for the whole year. So you have to look into things to several data points before you come up with an assessment. And they always say that you are only good as your last result. Yes, maybe in the short term, but at the same time, you have to understand during a performance review, you don't look at the most recent one. You look at the aggregate, because I've seen this countless times, organizations lose talents because they fail to see the average growth of the employee. Sometimes they just see the recent scenarios and the past accomplishments were not factored in, and they lose the talent. And then they're going to excel in another organization. So I guess if you're going to be opening up the conversation with your bosses and you guys don't have a performance evaluation process in place, just be aware of the halo effect and go for an average performance, how you did well. And Based it on numbers, any position, whether it's finance, HR, let's say you're in HR, then look at the numbers of your, there are certain numbers that you can put into your specific task. Let's say for recruitment, how's your hit rate? 1 out of 3. Out of 3 endorsements, you got 1 recruited. In sales, how many quote messages do you average a month, and how much is your success rate for every, what they call this, closed client? For finance, if you are in receivables, then how's your aging, right? So for payables, how's your the accuracy of the payments? So there are certain numbers that you can put in your position, regardless of your position. Remember, the language of business are numbers. So put numbers and then average, and you can use that as a basis, as a benchmark for your performance review.
Correct. I definitely agree with that, especially when I myself, when I prepare for my self-assessment or that performance conversation. I don't just depend on basically what you're saying, Anna. Don't wait until the end of the year. No, usually kasi by that time, if it's not too late na, parang you don't get the stuff that you've done. Maybe if there are mid-year or any point of the year where you want to talk to your line manager about your performance, just to get a feel of how it is like. So that's really important to have those checkpoints. And it's also important to have, you know, numbers in your self-assessment, in your performance conversation, because it's hard to, I guess, assess something qualitatively, but it's easier to assess something quantitatively when you have numbers to back it up. Right. So I also like what you said, that employees should be mindful of halo effect. That's also one thing that they should be mindful of. But for me, like when I was doing like my performance conversation, and I've had chats also with other employees, no, co-employees, what is that? When is it too much na I'm bragging na, or parang ang yabang naman ng pagkasabi ko, or versus I'm just stating facts? Kasi diba, buhat bangku talaga siya eh, na it's the time that you have to list down everything that you've done. What's that fine line?
That depends. Normally, a lot of issues arise from communication. So if you're going to be quote-unquote magbubuhat ng sariling bangko, no? So the issue is the delivery more than the issue itself. So the listeners, remember that the issue is the delivery more than the issue itself. So how you said it, or how you will say it, is very, very important. So for example, if you would say that, okay, for the past 10 months, I was able to hit my quota. There were months that I was not able to hit, but I was able to compensate it in the other months. And I believe that I do, where I was able to hit my numbers and perform above and beyond. Versus to someone who would say that, well, throughout the year, I was able to hit the quota, so I think I deserve this raise. So the delivery matters. So you can be borderline arrogant if how you said it, or kumbaga, yung bitaw mo, is quite important. And then rather than stating it as a matter of fact, but at the same time, making the other person realize. I think that the intent of the conversation matters as well, aside from the delivery. If your intent is that you want the other person to understand that you did perform this year, then basically you're coming off from a good place. Now, if your intent is basically you feel entitled to it, then most likely you'll be coming off as arrogant. So the intent matters as well. You're going to start off from that point, to be honest. If your intent is that, okay, I deserve, I believe that I was able to hit my numbers, and I would like you to understand that I do deserve this. That versus someone saying that I deserve this, I am entitled to this. Then definitely, you might get it, but you're going to push the wrong buttons there. So you might have won the battle, but you lost the war.
Correct.
Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, normally these things, you know, when you have this conversations, kaya nga conversations, it's really, it goes two ways, you know, it goes both ways. You'll be asked to comment, you can either be asked to comment straight up in that conversation, okay, what is your assessment of your performance over the past year? Or what if, on the flip side, it could also be, you know, the boss would be the one giving the assessment first. Okay, here's what you've done over the year. And then they'll give you a chance to comment based on their own assessment. It's really that kind of conversation when you have that sit-down conversation. What if there are comments that you don't really agree with? Your boss tells you that you're doing this and that incorrectly. And for you, your assessment is different about your own performance. How do you react or respond respectfully? And how do you manage that as an employee? What's a proper way to do it?
Well, I think butting heads with your superior is inevitable, especially when it comes to performance. But this is just my opinion. Learning happens when you make a stand. And you can't stand without a backbone. So basically, you got to be, what do you call this? You got to up your courage and make a stand. And put your foot down. And then just make sure your rationale is there. If there is no rationale, again, the rationale can be the definition of what okay is. So if you can defend it, you'll either, your boss would respect that. And if they don't, and you really believe that you made a stand, and you think you are right, you are in the right, then maybe now there's already a conflict of values, a conflict of appreciation. Then maybe it's time to revisit your stand in that current organization, if you are going to stay there or not. But in my opinion, during those situations, make a stand. I love those moments. I love it when I challenge the ratings of my employees. Why are you a 5 here? Let's say on a scale of 1 to 5, you're a 5, you're a 4. Why are you a 5? Why are you a 4? And then I would give my rationale that I believe that you are a 3 here. And then if you can convince me through a good rationale that you are a 4 or a 5, then yes, we can agree on that. I would bend and understand that, yeah, okay, you're right. You are a 4 or a 5. So make a stand, but don't make a stand like a spoiled brat. What do I mean by that? I'm a 5. Why? Ah, basta. Oh. Okay, why do I need to explain myself to you? You should have seen it. So,
I've seen that too. Yeah.
Give the rationale. So, if they don't see your worth, this is just my opinion on that. People's saying that if they don't see your worth, you can leave. But sometimes you need to show your worth for them to appreciate. Why? Because people are busy.
Yeah.
A lot of things are going on in organizations. So if there's an oversight of them seeing your worth, that's just them being human. And that's just management or the people upstairs would appreciate that if you would voice that out to them. Yes, the majority of the time that they should be monitoring the employees, but at the same time, there would be oversights. And during those oversights, let's be more understanding. It is an organization.
Correct.
So it's a two-way street.
Mm-mm. I agree, you know, because actually that's one very helpful piece of advice that I got from my mentor when I was starting my career. Na you should not rely on your line managers or let's say the higher ups to acknowledge what you're doing or what you want in your career. You have to drive your own career. You have to be responsible also with saying, these are the things that I have done. This is what I want to do in the future. But respectfully, of course, not being a brat, but it's more just telling them what you want to do. Because they're busy, like what you said. They are managing all other things. They're managing all other people within the team. It's not just you. And it's human for them to miss out on some things because that's just how it is, diba? So ikaw dapat yung nag-remind sa kanila na, by the way, boss, ito yung nagawa ko. Remember, we have this discussion and I want to move to this different role. Maybe we could, you know, cater my plan for next year towards this role. It's really you having that conversation and agreement with your boss and just don't expect them to, basta nakikita na dapat nila yan. pinapatay ko naman yung sarili ko, dapat gets nila yan, which is really not the case, right? Again, different perspective from yeah. them and yourself.
Career progression is a proactive thing.
Yes.
So if it's a proactive thing and you're just waiting for them to acknowledge you, then you're not going to progress in your career.
Mm-mm. Kailangan talagang active.
Yeah, you grab the wheel and you drive. You drive your career moving forward. So if you're just going to wait, they're not noticing me, they don't see my worth,
mm-hmm.
then you can just stay there. So yeah. You have to drive your own career, just like what your mentor said.
Mm-hmm.
And it again, career progression is proactive, not reactive. Okay. It's just going to fall on your lap. You're going to drive it.
Correct. You don't expect them to know what you want, and you don't expect them to already know everything that you think they know, diba? And it's really different, eh?
Do you work more than 8 hours a day? Would meetings from day and night? Well, Globe Prepaid has got your back. With Globe Prepaid's Go Plus 99, for just 99 pesos, you can now work from Monday to Sunday with ease. Break free from your stress and start working efficiently as you utilize all the apps that you need to make your work more efficient. With a total of 16 gig of data, you can now have 8 gig of all sites to do what you need and 8 gig of data for apps that you love through Globe Prepaid's Go Plus 99 with Go Work promo. On top of that, you also get unlimited text to all networks valid for 7 days. To register, grab your mobile phones now and head on to their Globe One app, GCash, or dial *143# hashtag on your phone to access all the apps that you would need to make your work life more efficient. With Globe Prepaid's Go Plus 99 and other Go Plus offers, you can break free and be your own boss.
I'd like to add this. This has been my benchmark ever since I started working, and I've applied this even in my businesses.
Mm-mm.
I used my salary as a benchmark.
Mm.
What do I mean by use my salary as a benchmark? I use my salary and how much money does the company earn from me. So if the answer is negative, then I suck. Let's say, for example, all my career, it's all about sales, right?
So correct.
If my salary does not compensate for the sales that I'm bringing in for the organization and for my department, then I basically suck.
Mm.
It's I try to understand it from the business owner's point of view.
Correct.
Now, if you're in business support, let's say, for example, in collections, in finance.
Correct.
Compared, how are you in terms of collection versus your salary? Are you justifying? Let's say you are in HR.
Mm-mm.
There's this, I remember I did my research that for every one HR should be able to manage 97 employees or 105 employees.
Wow.
That's an average. The assumption is recruitment, training, and compensation are outsourced. So basically more on hard dev and employee relations.
Correct.
So let's say that those are outsourced and you're just one and you're already suffering with one. You're suffering with 50 employees. Then you might, and then your salary compared to the organization. That's one way to benchmark. Especially if you can directly correlate sales into your salary and then try to see if the company is losing money with you or not. So that's one way to benchmark as well.
That's a good benchmark. No? Although, so for some, it's not 1:1, right? Like, especially for the larger, but it is a very good benchmark. Like, just shows like what your value is into that company. And it just validates, like, if you feel like you need a raise or if you feel like you need a promotion, that's what you use against your performance conversation when the time comes. Now, all these preparations for the conversation, for the assessment, leads to the employee's intent to grow, to get promoted, and some of us to get, because it's tied to bonus and raise, diba, for some companies. So it's also important to get a good conversation, a good feedback. How can you ask for a raise for both on-cycle and off-cycle? You mentioned a bit earlier when we started the conversation. Parang ako, nahihiya ako to ask for it sa boss ko directly and to open that topic kasi feeling ko baka naman feel nila, medyo off. How do you be straightforward and just go ahead and ask for it?
Well, Sometimes it depends. Say, for example, if it's an annual increase, then definitely you just gotta have to wait for the cycle. Now, let's say if you've, let's say you just started and then you're on a roll for the first 6 months, you were able to hit your numbers, you're really excelling, and then suddenly this kicks in that maybe I need a raise. Is 6 months a good benchmark of your performance on average? What happens in the next 6 months? I think it's fair for an average of at least 1 year, an average performance of 1 year. Then that's where we look at things in terms of your raise. If I just gave you a raise 3 months ago, 6 months ago, and then you're already parading to me that you need a raise, diba? And some people are saying that I got the raise, and then suddenly a recruiter or a headhunter taps them and then offers something higher, and then you're going to ask another raise, you better check your check yourself.
Correct.
Because normally, you have to meet your position. Let's say, for example, you got a 60,000 raise. You got to make sure that you solidify your position that you are a 60,000 employee. Just because you got 60,000, automatically you're a 60,000 employee or a six-figure salary employee. You got to mint that. How do you mint that? Through a one-year performance. Then you establish yourself. Okay, it's been a year. I didn't get fired. I got a good average performance. Then I am a 100,000 employee. Now, if you got a raise, let's say you're from 50 to 60,000, then after 2 months someone offered you, just because you're already 60,000, they're going to offer something higher. Especially if the recruiter does not know any better, they don't see that, oh, okay, you're only 2 months and then you're already asking for another increase, then you better check yourself. Because what's going to happen there is you're going to be dangling this thing that, in my opinion, is unethical and immature, that you're already thinking of your worth, which is you just got your worth and then you're already using it. You got to mint it. What do you mean? You got to solidify first that you are worth your value for at least a year, because that result on that pay scale after 1 year is now your value.
Got it. Yeah.
It's not month after month after month after month.
Yeah, correct.
And I've seen that. Some people would disagree with me with this, but I'm going to make a stand here. Because that's not going to be your worth just because you got a raise and then someone offered you another one.
Correct.
So yeah. you have to check yourself, and then and if you think that you do deserve that and then you transfer and then you don't have the experience to back it up because you just recently got an increase and then you think that you are worth that much, then it's a losing battle. You're going to set the expectations higher if you're going to be transferring. So mint or solidify the experience and the salary. You have to align it, the salary with the experience for at least 1 year.
Correct. And I think everything goes back to your rationale and the numbers that back it up, right? So for example, if it's on cycle and you got your increase, but you're not happy with it, you could still go back to your line manager and have that conversation on that cycle. But I just don't know how it works for other companies. Like for us, kasi syempre, it's a lot of the approvals have been done already the moment they communicate your increase to you, diba? So mahirap yun.
Now, to that point, let's say, going back to the conversation earlier, you got an increase, better 5%, right? Or 10%. But your actual market value is actually higher. Maybe they underpaid you with your increase. So you got to, again, going back, you got to check your market value too. So sometimes some companies... For me, the average increase should be at least 5% because based on inflation. Because if you're going to just base your increase on inflation, you're just basically giving them what...
Yes, correct.
You're just compensating for the inflation, not really for the increase. But yeah, you got to check your market value as well.
Correct. I like to mention that market value, no, and the 5% increase based on inflation. I assume there's really no fixed formula on what, you know, how do you assess it, but it's really based on the market value of the job or of what you're doing. My next question would be, ako kasi, how, I wouldn't know, right? I mean, it, salary is such a taboo thing that you people don't really talk about it. Parang you don't go in the company and say, magkano yung sweldo mo? Or we, even as friends, like sa friends, we don't really talk about salaries as much. Or even with people who the same industry, how would you know your market value? Or what? How would you know what benchmark you should be using to know na if I'm underpaid or sakto lang?
That's a funny thing, actually. Because people when they do share their... when they do share their salary, sometimes they inflate it. They inflate it just because they want to boost their ego a bit. No? So, oh. 80,000 lang sabi ko 100,000.
Oh.
And then your friend would be, what? 100,000 siya? Ngayon, this person would be insecure of her salary.
Correct, diba? Happens. So, yes.
So, those are the things that, what do you call this? Things that go on and on and on and on. It's just an endless vague cycle.
Mm-hmm.
My normal advice is go to a headhunter.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, me. The reason why is because we know the actual salaries of the people that we are recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a benchmark.
Okay.
And the benchmark actually differs. Let's, for example, if you are a CFO.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a CFO and you are, I remember, earlier in my career, my client asked me for a CFO, and I got him a CFO, a good one. And then they were discussing, they were already, wow, you're good. Okay, I think I like this person. And then there was this one question that my client asked the CFO, how much money were you handling, or the sales of the organization, the money that you were handling? And then the CFO said, 150 million.
Mm-mm.
And then I saw the facial reaction of my client change, and then it seems like for him interested to disappointed.
Mm.
And then after the meeting, I spoke to him, how come you got disappointed? But here's the thing. My business is a billion peso company. Mm. And managing a billion is different from managing 150.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly I saw that benchmark. I was like, and that became a good question for me, for CFOs. And I would normally ask them, how much money are you managing?
Mm-mm.
If you're managing 150 million and my client is a billion company, you're not going to be a fit. So if you're comparing yourself, let's say if you're managing 150 million and then your friend, and you're getting what, 200,000 pesos, and then your friend from a big organization handling billions, and then they're earning 500 to 600,000 a year, would you compare yourself to them? Would you say to them,
apples to apples?
It's not apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it's kind of, the human in us is inget, jealous. How come this person is getting this much salary and I'm not? We're both CFOs. You have to factor those in. And then normally that's the first thing, the human instinct kicks in, and then the insecurities, the injustice. It's like, why am I not? And then suddenly, but then you have to understand the context. It takes maturity to sift through those contexts and details.
Got it.
So if you're going to be benchmarking, you have to understand that, you know, it's totally different. Let's say for brand managers for multinational compared to local, there's a stark difference in terms of compensations. If you are an account manager in bank or a relationship manager compared to a relationship manager or account manager in, I don't know, a smaller firm, B2B firms, it's different. So you have to understand the certain benchmarks. And then you, if you're going to be benchmarked at least close to your industry, close to the size of the organization, close to the actual industry, if you're in food, it should be in food, not in tech.
Yeah.
So factor those in. What are the common factors? If there are common factors, then you can do a benchmark.
Mm-mm.
So that would be my advice if you're going to be benchmarking the salaries and not, you know, just vaguely do it.
That's really helpful. And for that particular insight where you said na nga, you need to factor what that person is doing or what your friend is doing versus what you're doing. Kasi sometimes we are guilty. Like I was once guilty of the same thing. Na parang, I see my other batchmates and I see other friends, but I don't really quantify, like I don't really check like what I do versus what they do, diba? Most of the time, ang naiisip mo, ang benchmark sa utak mo is magka-batchmate kami or classmate ko siya. So your mind is stuck with that comparison where you both came from the same school, you both graduated in the same year, but why aren't you being paid the same amount of salary even though the work is different? So that's one thing that people need to be mindful of, like really understand your benchmark properly. Benchmark it in the right industry, in the right set amount of work, and that's just really the way to go, right?
Yeah, check mo na lang. Baka nasa maling industriya ka. Kasi there are really bigger, there are really industries who pay bigger.
So, correct.
So if you want to change careers, then maybe also change the industry that you are working in. So those are the industry actually is a big differentiator of salaries.
It is. My coworkers, because I work in a bank, we joke around all the time that we are in the wrong industry. Because obviously FMCGs would pay more than banks, diba? But it's a reality we've accepted because this is the path and the career that we want to take. And that's just really how it is. Syempre, when you're young, when you're immature, you think, why? Bakit ganon? Maybe I should do this. But then ultimately you understand as you grow into your career that there are things that you really don't want to do. There are jobs that are just really not for you. And you just really have to accept that the salary would also be aligned to the job that you're in or the career or the industry that you're in.
Yeah. I think one advice, or watch out for this, guys, maybe. There are actually companies who pay really high just for you not to leave.
Mm-mm.
Because it's such a toxic environment.
Mm.
There are companies out there.
Yes.
Like that. And then what happens? It's a toxic cycle. You can't leave because you're now used to that kind of pay.
Mm-mm.
I call it the money trap. The money trap is basically you're earning a lot. And then now, since you're earning a lot, you've adjusted your lifestyle into that salary. And then you've been staying in that organization for quite some time. And then that it's actually a losing battle scenario. Mm. Why? Because you're being paid a lot and then you're not moving in your career. And then if you're not moving, the world only goes forward. You either move forward or fall behind.
Mm-mm.
So most likely in your career, you might be falling behind. And then by the time that you go out, you're overpaid and then you got left behind because in that particular organization, you're trapped.
Correct.
So the money trap is basically that kind of scenario. I've seen it countless times. Mm-hmm. And it only ends up with what? Resentment. You become mm-hmm. resentful of your employer. And you become resentful of the world. As you know, my job sucks, but I love the pay. And now my lifestyle is based on that pay scale. And now you're stuck.
Correct.
And you can only blame yourself for that. So.
Yung nga, eh, diba? You can't expect to be paid a lot and then for you not to work or for them not to, what, I don't know, what I can think of a proper term, pero for them na hindi ka pigain, diba? For every cent that they pay you, that's just how the world works, and you can't just expect to get away with it, right? You need to know and understand what you want to do and if you're willing to stay in that trap nga. So, thank you so much, Pat. It's really a very interesting conversation. These things, I really love talking about them because there are a lot of things, you know, that I want people, I really want to encourage people to take their career forward, to take the driver's seat and just really propel their career forward. So that's one of the reasons why I love to talk about these topics. Anything you want to plug from your side before we end this episode?
I guess you can visit my podcast. I haven't been active because I've been so busy, but most likely I actually have episodes, but if you do want to learn more about jobs, you can always check my podcast. It's called Job Defined, because a lot of us have been there. You want to learn about a job and then you only read the job description, and it's actually best to learn from an actual professional.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want an audible job description from actual professionals and what they're doing, then Job Defined is for you. And then I do have some career and life lessons in between there. So please check it out as well.
Thank you so much, Pat. It was really a nice conversation this morning, and I hope the listeners learned a lot from our conversation.
That's it for today's episode of Misconceptions. If you enjoyed it, please share this online and with your friends. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Misconceptions Podcast, and do follow us on Instagram at Misconceptions. See you in the next!
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.